Right, 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Thanksgiving Eve. Get ready for Fisher House programming on Thursday, bringing attention to veterans families. We've talked about this charity in the past. One of our favorites for national charities. One of our, if not favorite, I'd say favorite charity around here for national charities. Because the best way to explain it, the elevator speech on Fisher House and why you should care. What Ronald McDonald House does for families with children at medical facilities around the country, giving those parents a home away from home, not just a place to stay, but a home as their children are getting treatment. Same thing is true for the Fisher House and families of our veterans getting treatment at VA facilities here stateside and around the planet. It gives them that home nearby the VA facility to live in and be able to be there with their loved ones. So it's a great deal. We'll tell you more about that, and you'll hear more about it, of course, on Thanksgiving. All right, it is a Tuesday. That means we say hello to Quinn Hillier, the man behind, oddly enough, QuinnHillier.com. Also read his work in the Washington Examiner and the Mad Jones Trilogy, available right now over at Amazon. Hey, Quinn.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
Good. So you've been doing some traveling. You're just back from the nation's capital.
Yes, I was up there last week, just my second trip up there this year, and did a lot of interesting interviews and got a sense of the town and what people are talking about. And one of the most fascinating interviews I did, and it was very timely, was with U.S. Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska, who, of course, is one of the brains in the Senate, one of the big-picture guys. And he wanted to talk about looking long-term, at long-term challenges, and it dovetailed very well with a very immediate story in the news, and that is Hong Kong. These elections they had in Hong Kong were astonishing. For the council seats in Hong Kong, the state, the Chinese mainland, thought that their candidates were going to win overwhelmingly, and instead they basically lost 90% of the seats. Now, these are not very powerful seats, but they were the way for the Chinese, the Hong Kong population to express their will, and they slapped the communists silly. And what Ben Sasse was talking about was how one of the things that first inspired him, he's in his mid-40s, first inspired him to get involved in politics were the Tiananmen Square protests back in 1989. And now that he's in the Senate, he says, look, Washington split, we're not getting anything done short-term, so I want to look at long-term threats. And I got on the Intelligence Committee, and what I find is that the most serious long-term threat is what China is doing, what the Chinese communists are doing, and the way that they are going about basically trying to dominate the world through the way that they operate commerce. And he went in, you know, I can try to go on, but you might have questions, but basically what he said is they are infiltrating, using their commerce to infiltrate the tech sector in a way that helps them get intelligence. And he talked about that Huawei company. And he said it's very, very important to figure out how to combat that. So I'll stop there.
Okay, it's interesting because I've been reading through some of this, and I found Ben Sasse to be pretty interesting to watch over the years. I mean, we're talking about mercantilist, right, and a mercantile economy with China, and them using that to influence their, I don't know, their ranking on the world stage. But they, you know, something we've often talked about is Chinese, they can wait out American presidents, right? I mean, they're not demanding elections in China. Well, if they are, they're ushered away. So how do you fight something like that? How do you, in a free republic like we have, where things change and come and go by who is elected, how do you deal with something like China that's on a 10, 20, 30-year plan?
Well, and that's what Ben Sasse said he's concentrating on, and he said that's what he wishes he could get his colleagues to concentrate on, to think not what happens in 2019 and 2020, but to think ahead to 2030, because he said, you know, that is a long-term challenge. But getting back to Hawaii, that company, you know, it's a tech company, and we know that it is an arm, he said, of the Chinese government and of Chinese intelligence, and that's why we've tried to sanction them. And, you know, I don't know if your listeners, you know, were paying attention earlier this year. We impose sanctions on, it's H-U-A-W-I.
Huawei. It's Huawei.
Huawei.
Yeah.
Okay. And we impose sanctions on them, but then when it came time to actually implement them, President Trump, three times now, has used legitimate powers that he is given some discretion. He used his powers three different times to delay those sanctions for 90 days each. He just did the third 90-day one about a week or two ago. And Sass says that can't happen. He says that that every day that goes by, this company gets its tentacles further into our tech sector, further into areas where it can hack us, further into areas where they can, you know, maybe do intelligence into our Defense Department. And he says, when we find something like that, we can't delay. We have to act, and we can't worry about whether, well, American companies are clients of Huawei, and they're lobbying us to say, well, why don't you go easy on them because it's going to hurt us. We can't worry about that because it's a national security interest. So anyway, that was his basic message, is we have to root out the real Chinese, you know, just ordinary commerce and their rapacious intelligence operations and crack down on the latter.
Quinn, the technology aspect of this, that's one thing, and it is scary with some of the apps. I think TikTok, which is a really popular social media act, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's owned by China also. But talk about the other aspect of this, and I know when the NBA had their big flap with China just a month ago or 2 months ago, when the owner of the Houston Rockets put out a pro-Hong Kong protest tweet, and China responded by trying to ban the NBA games. And what about China's hold? I know a lot of people were saying with China's Communist Party, if Americans started doing business in China, that would help the Chinese kind of see the way of free democracy and how things could be. But instead, it seems like China actually has a bit of a hold on American corporations. And if they don't want to lose that money in China, they have to kind of bow down to whatever China tells them to do.
That's a great question, Dalton, and that's exactly what Ben Sasse said. He went on at some length about this. What he said, and he used the NBA as an example, he says, and it's the same thing with these tech companies that do business with Huawei. They don't just sell to us, they also buy from us. They get fully integrated into our tech sector economy and make us clients. And so our companies, our businesses, our sports leagues start depending on their business, and then when we try to crack down on them or somebody even dares criticize them, China comes down like a ton of bricks and says, you're going to lose all this money if you dare open your mouth. And so just what happened with the NBA is also what's happening with Huawei, in that if you criticize them or you try to sanction them, they fight back, not directly, but by going through their American clients to have their American clients lobby their legislators, lobby the president to say, you can't do this because if you speak out against China, we lose a lot of business. And it's very insidious. And that's one of the things Sass is worried about. And he used the NBA as an example. If the NBA will jump like that just because one of their team's officials spoke up in favor of the freedom movement in Hong Kong, think what a lot of other companies will do when both their biggest suppliers and their biggest customers are in China.
Yeah, insidious. That's exactly the word I was going to use. Just thinking about this and running it through my head as you're talking. There's a, it's a, an American company said, listen, I am, you know, as free market as it comes, but I will also say what is true. The cheap labor, the cheap outsourced labor is a drug for American business. It's a drug. And when you start taking away the drug, the person that's addicted, these companies are going to scream about it. And China's the dealer of the drug of cheap labor.
Well, it is, but that's that again gets back to why Hong Kong is so important, and SAS has been a big supporter of the democracy movement there. And he said that that while we try to figure out which of China's commercial efforts actually are a national security threat and crack down on those, if we keep supporting the freedom movement in Hong Kong, and they keep standing up for themselves and having these elections that have such good election results, that puts pressure right at the rim of mainland China, and information gets out even when the Chinese government doesn't want to let it, and the mainland Chinese start to get a taste of democracy themselves, and maybe. They'll find a way to start loosening the grip of the state, but it's a long-term process.
Right. I mean, that's long-term is key, because I just don't see, you know, there are other places in the world you go, wow, they get the spark of freedom, and these folks will change things, not just Tiananmen Square, but just the general atmosphere in mainland China. I think we're looking at decades or more even to erode to being a semi-free society.
Right. Well, I mean, people forget that in the 80s, in the late 80s, China was ahead of Eastern Europe in moving toward freedom. And then they had the crackdown in Tiananmen Square. And since then, the Chinese government has found this sort of third way, this semi-free economy, but much stronger state repression on everything else. And it is a real conundrum trying to figure out how to put a wedge in there, because they've figured out a way to make it work for the repressors, for the oppressors. So, again, this is a long-term thing, and I'm glad at least somebody in the Senate is really thinking big long-term.
Interesting food for thought. All right, Quinn, remind folks if they have yet to pick up the trilogy. It's, you know, I mean, Black Friday coming up, shopping season's here. How do they do that?
This is Mad Jones Heretic and Mad Jones Hero and Mad Jones Agonistes, a trilogy of really funny, fun novels at Amazon.com.
All right, very good. And the website?
QuinnHillier.com.
All right, Quinn.
In fact, I think maybe I should let you run QuinnHillier.com, and then you should start SeanSullivan.com and let me run it. It would be a lot more interesting.
That would be interesting. Okay. You got a deal. You got a deal. We'll work on that. Thanks, Quinn. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Coming right back. More of Mobile Mornings. What do you think about that? I mean, that we would have, by the nature of business, have businesses inside the United States lobby the U.S. to go easy on China. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey Bennett. You got junk you need gone. He's got the means to get it going. Now think about this. We could go, you're going to think junk. You'll think boxes in the attic. You know, you're going to think about things you have bagged up that just need to go. Maybe a big piece of furniture that needs to be gone. Okay, those things. But he can handle things like swing sets, playhouses, outdoor storage sheds. Maybe you got a storage unit you've been paying on for years, and there's a better chance that I could tell you what's in there than you could. Maybe it's time to get rid of that cost every month and do it with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Could be your business. You could be an all-digital company and still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 huge metal file cabinets in your office for some reason. You want to get rid of those? He can handle that as well. Give him a call. See about getting an appointment set. And that's a nice thing. They'll set an actual appointment time on a day, and you agree on that time and day, not the spectrum of time thing. And they show up. They quote you a price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done. So call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, 827. Been talking about this shortened Thanksgiving week, and the schedules are all, we took it like a puzzle box and shook it all up in the different pieces, so pieces will fall in different places this week. Our buddy Robert Kennedy Jr. usually in with us on Thursday. As tempting as it was to skip the Thanksgiving holiday and sit in here with us, he decided to come in on this Tuesday.
It actually wasn't tempting at all. I wasn't going to be here. I mean, you guys would have been sitting here looking at it like at probably a blank chair. So, but anyway, it's good to be here. Good to be with you guys this morning.
Good to have you in here. We're going to talk a little bit about last week's AL1 Republican debate.
Mm-hmm.
And also, what Quinn brought up, I think this is interesting. At least to me, this is kind of like the thought game stuff, and I find Ben Sasse an interesting senator. He has been somebody who's caught my attention over time.
Right.
And this talk about what do you do? It is hard to be in a marketplace where we have freedom versus the Chinese machine that's operating a quasi-capitalist system.
Mm-hmm.
through a communist dictate. I mean, it's
right.
How do you fight that straight up? And I can see exactly what they're talking about, that we get American companies, and I get it. They're trying to do business in a world stage. They're trying to make a profit.
Right.
And then you get in this battle here against China, and the Chinese are saying, hey, business folks, you better change what's going on in Washington because it's going to cost you money.
Mm-hmm.
It is a strange world there.
It is indeed, but this is an opportunity for me to go back and throw a couple of stones here right quick. So you know we've had this ongoing conversation about how everyone says that everything that the Democratic Party is doing right now is socialist, right? And I often come back with the concept of we are in a mixed economy. Right. Mm-hmm. So you do want some government regulation, mm-hmm. because in a purely capitalist society, the market would correct every problem.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're showing it, what mm-hmm. we're showing right here is because both of us are operating in different degrees of mixed economies.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You have this clash and invariably that's going to happen. And we know that you're going to have government regulation to work this out. Otherwise, cats are just going to go for the dollars.
Yeah, and it's a tough thing. Well, and listen, I'm a proponent for cats going for the dollars, except the problem is this other player in the system is playing by a different set of rules. And that's the tough thing. If the Chinese were operating...
But Sean, that's just like all of it. We're all kind of playing to different sets of rules depending
true.
On where we are anyway.
The degree of difference, I would mm-hmm. agree. Because, right. I mean, even if you look at trade with Europe, you're
no
right.
Doubt.
You're right. There's some degree of difference. But it is a very marked difference with the Chinese. The Chinese can tell their businesses to lose money for a period of time.
Right.
You know, and the American company is like, no, we need to make money right now. China like, oh,
until
no.
you start using bankruptcy as a business strategy, like a certain New York
See,
businessman
who
entered
go.
The political field.
There you go.
Hey, you open yourself up.
No, I'm not open. I'm just asking the question about China. It is a system here where I wonder, is there any way in keeping liberty in mm-hmm. our system
right.
to have some long-term plan to deal with China on the world stage?
I really think we do, and that's all joking aside. We need to figure this out, and it's technology is increasing at an increasing rate, and
right.
so there are problems that come up that are things that we couldn't even anticipate. And when you think about the folks who are actually sitting in the decision-making chairs now, their understanding and proficiency with this technology isn't really high either. But this is yeah. absolutely something we're going to have to figure
out. Right. We're coming back. We'll talk about this and last week's AL1 Republican debate. Robert Kennedy Jr., our guest, and we'll be right back.
Morning, 8:36 on Mobile Mornings. This is FM Talk 106.5. Let's talk with Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, everybody.
So we're coming up just a couple days until Thanksgiving, and I know you've got some great Black Friday deals at McConnell. Tell us about those deals.
Every day is Black Friday at McConnell. We have a blast here. You know, y'all get here early in the morning, we got Dalton cooking that good old Kaneka sausage. But we got some deals. We've got cars, like I said, from used cars all the way up from $5,000 to $50,000. We've got some nice diesel trades in. Anybody wants a good deal on the used, pre-owned used diesel. Also going to be certified. We got some Yukons. I'm sitting here looking at some SUVs that we have that are under $20,000. Those are hard to find. I've been trying to find them for a while. Got some Honda Pilots, some Traverses, some Acadias, Enclaves. Also, don't forget about our new car. The new diesel is just, I mean, they're just flying. Every time one gets one in, everybody just gets sold. That's why we get those good trades. And also want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, and y'all come by and see us or check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
That's some good stuff, Louie. And the website, you've got all the vehicles, new and pre-owned, neatly organized and ready to roll.
Everything's on the website. I'm sitting here playing with the website as we speak.
Some good stuff. Thanks, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 837 FM Talk 106.5 on this shortened week. Well, the week is the same length, but the shortened work week portion, we've mixed up the jigsaw puzzle box, and our buddy Robert Kennedy Jr., who you usually hear on Thursdays, is in with us today and talk a little bit about what Quinn Hilliard discussed with China, but also transitioning into the, because that China discussion is a 5, 10, 15, 20-year proposition for
Absolutely.
Our nation.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about now is more immediate, and that is the 2020 cycle, and specifically here in our home in AL1.
Yes.
The Republicans had their debate the other night. We did about 90 minutes of debate with a few mm-hmm. little breaks in there, and ran through, you know, people say, well, why don't you ask this question, that question? Believe me, y'all, it was to get in the questions we did. You have five candidates up there answering. You go through, I think we went through 20 some odd of the long questions, and then we had
you're going through at a healthy clip.
You were trying to move through them pretty quickly. So, and if folks haven't heard you on the show before, y'all welcome, Robert Kennedy Jr., Democrat, and your perspective on what you heard on Thursday night.
So, you know, the first thing that I wanted to do as I was thinking about prepping for today was to do the typical Republican answer whenever you're talking about the Democratic presidential debates.
Okay.
And be like, I hate all of them. But of course, yeah. That wouldn't do any good for you or the listening audience, or
right.
for me. So I'll just put on my political scientist hat,
okay,
and evaluate it as a political scientist. So, what we talked about before when we were talking about how you evaluate a debate, there's an expectation, and whether or not the candidate met their expectation, so that when they start pulling out the sound bites,
right.
would allow them to continue to raise money.
Right.
So that's really the criteria that I'm using.
Okay,
and so from that perspective, two of the five actually stood out to me. The person I'd have to give the nod would be Jerry Carl.
Jerry Carl.
He, of all of the candidates that was espousing a Republican philosophy, he did the best at connecting the question to his specific experience. And I'll give you an example. So you started talking about the bridge,
mm-hmm.
right, and wanted to have federal funding for the bridge. Well, he was the only one who was able to come right back and say, oh, by the way, I have a plan for that, and that plan is going to come out in the next couple of weeks, and
mm-hmm.
it's going to be, let's not do the Bayway, let's just do the bridge,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can see there's
something
crisp,
specific.
There was a crispness in the way that he answered the questions. You know, even when he was talking about things like, yes, I want to build a wall, but you still need to have some sort of migrant worker program that allows migrants to come into the country to support Alabama farmers, et cetera.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
so there was definitely a depth of understanding there. The second person who stuck out with me was actually Chris Pringle as well. And again, it pains me to say it, right, because I have to kind of take off my Democratic Party hat.
I do this all the time. It doesn't pay. You're doing this as – you're analyzing this
mm-hmm.
as a political scientist.
Yep. So he talked about being the House Minority Leader
mm-hmm.
when he was first elected, right? And with Alabama, from a House of Representatives perspective, being in the minority,
mm-hmm.
just having the experience, having been in the minority before he's in the majority now, is good experience to
mm-hmm.
have and to figure out how to navigate. But the one thing that really struck me was he was the only one – of the conservatives who was talking in terms of how he actually shrunk government. And the two things that struck me were he talked about the number of boards
mm-hmm.
that he had a hand in eliminating, and I think it was something around the neighborhood of 70 plus. And then he actually talked about the number of bills that got repealed.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're saying you want limited government,
yeah.
that's what you want your limited government person to do. So truth be told, those were really the two
that stood out.
When you look at Bill Hightower, for example, if I was to sit here and write a script of what someone coming out of central casting would look and sound like, it would be Bill Hightower. But again, it didn't resonate with me. Right.
Right.
Compare that to, for example, to John Castorini,
yeah,
who literally sounded like he didn't have any talking points, hadn't done any polling data, and he was just talking like a normal person,
yeah,
about a wide variety of issues, some of which aren't going to get him a whole lot of enthusiasm yeah, with the Republican Party establishment.
It is interesting that reaction's what I the get him, people interested in him. I saw that in our text line and emails and things. People said the same thing. They said, well, this, that, and the other is going to be probably a no vote, but this guy has got my attention because, mm-hmm, he said X, Y, and Z.
So I'm familiar with that.
Yes, yes, you are. Yes, you are. You have said same thing.
Yes.
That's for sure. So we've got, and Wes Lambert part of the mix as well. As you look at going forward, you mentioned this, and you and I talk about this all the time, and, mm-hmm, keep reminding folks, there's two things at play here. Of course, people are trying to get votes coming up in the primary in March, but people are trying to get dollars right now.
Yes, it's name recognition, so your ability to poll. And, mm-hmm, I know we're not doing a lot of polls on this race right now, but just kind of the scuttlebutt, if you will. And then it's your ability to raise money so that when you get into that last 6 weeks, you're able to have a war chest full of ammunition, mm-hmm, that you're basically firing at each other on air. There is one other area that I did want to mess with you about a little bit.
Okay.
I think you guys did a very good job in terms of the pace, in, mm-hmm, terms of keeping everything going. I think you did a very good job in terms of just keeping everything, you know, South Alabama nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the candidates had a large large part of that as well. But one of the areas where I think you guys could have done better was really starting to push people to really answer the question. And I'll give you two examples. So the first question that was asked was, it was a setup with fiscal conservatism,
mm-hmm,
and how folks want limited government. And this is a core principle of the Republican Party. And the specific question that got asked was, do you oppose deficit spending? And if you do, what programs would you cut or what taxes would you raise?
Mm-hmm.
Only one of the candidates answered the question. The other four didn't. The only candidate who answered the question in this situation was Bill Hightower, because he came back and he started talking about the mating habits of frogs, mm-hmm, and Peru.
Right, right.
He talked about some of the funding for the PLO. He talked about the export-import. Right? It's, mm-hmm, it was very specific,
right,
but none of the rest of them even answered it. They gave some blah-blah Charlie Brown teacher's answer.
Right.
So in that perspective, I would have loved to see you guys as facilitators say, nope, you didn't answer the question. Go a step deeper. You know what I mean?
Right. No, that's a fair critique. I look at it from my perspective, being new to this, and my job is to get the people to respond,
mm-hmm,
and then people, just like you did, they may say, well, that person didn't answer, that person didn't answer, that person didn't answer, this person did answer, I like this or I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, and I tell you, if we have this winnowed down, which I think we're looking at a runoff in AL1 on the Republican side. With
absolutely.
So. Yeah. That if we have a chance to do this again,
mm-hmm,
then that will definitely be more in depth when you have two people on the stage.
Yeah, I told you, you could totally freak them out and just have me show up as the facilitator, because you know I'm not going to vote for any of them.
Right.
Right? But I did think that, on the serious tip, it was worth the notion of going a step deeper.
Fair
on
enough.
These particular,
okay,
questions. And in the other one, and I just have to say this one as well, you also ask a question about the Alabama abortion law,
mm-hmm,
and the specific was, do you agree with this notion of any circumstances, including rape, mm-hmm, incest, health of the mother? And that was another one where it kind of shifted a little bit to this notion of the reason politically why that was actually passed through the legislature,
sure,
was it forced Roe versus Wade?
But not all candidates answered it that way. I remember Jerry Carl being pretty specific and saying in no cases.
His specific quote was, any form, any time, life begins at conception and then shift, right?
But yeah, he answered the question, right?
I guess he answered it-ish.
He answered the question. That sounds like pretty absolute to me.
Okay.
I mean, what's not absolute about any time, any place? And I don't have the quote in front of me. It's off the top of my head.
So I think that you're answering that yes, no, and then with the answer afterwards, right? And so one of the things that happens, and when you hear this a lot, and you are a wonk when it comes to this stuff, so you're, mm-hmm, listening to it a lot, it's the impact of coming across and saying, yes, I agree with the Alabama law as it stands. I don't agree with abortion at any time, any place, for any. You know what I'm saying? It's, mm-hmm, that forcefulness, as opposed to, well, I don't really agree with it. Oh, and by the way, there's Doug Jones didn't vote for the 20-week ban.
Right, but I...
That's what I'm challenging.
Okay, but at the same time, without having the notes in front of me, Commissioner Carl stands out, but I'm sure the other, I think, and Pringle, I'm trying to remember, they were specific about, and Jerry Carl stands out most because he went through the list and he said life begins at conception.
Yeah,
so
Chris,
I mean, that was pretty.
Chris Pringle said he was 100% pro-life, had a 100% pro-life voting record. He thought it represented a slippy slope. He talked about the issue of if there was a car accident,
that's right. Yeah.
So, but that it's that yes or no. And then follow on part.
Okay, so it's almost, and you've done this for a long time, right, in the world of debate. So it's almost not in the essence, but the semantics of the answer that you're saying.
I think it's the structure of the answer. Because if you have a yes or no question, you should get a yes or no answer and then the explanation. I'm not trying to do the gotcha stuff where it's just like raise your hand or something like that.
Right.
But this is one of the ones where I think it goes a level deeper. Because it's such a core reactionary issue, particularly here, I think it would be worth having, you know, just a little bit of challenge on the candidates to go a little bit deeper with their answers.
All right, coming right back, more of our discussion right here on Mobile Mornings. Text line 343-0106. We'll grab some texts when we come back. Thank you, Kane. 853 FM Talk, 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. All right, coming up, Midday Mobile today. A lot on our list to do, and we will take another bite at the apple. That apple being the legislative session in Montgomery, y'all, coming up early next year. As I know that the session doesn't get started for another, 40-something days or something like that. 56 days, something like that. Math is not my forte. But what I can tell you is all the things that we're going to be talking about when session gets started in Montgomery, they're working on right now. And that's why we're bouncing all these things around. We'll talk about that more coming up in the Midday Show today, starting at noon. Robert Kennedy Jr., our guest in the studio, as we have this shortened work week and we're moving things around. Robert's usually in with us on Thursday. We'll go to the phones and the text line at 343-0106. And Clifton in Baldwin County up first. Hey, Clifton.
Hey, bud.
Hey, man.
Hey, there's a lot going on in this session. And my person, I'm pro-life all the way. But my problem is this isn't really something that the Alabama legislature or even the federal government legislature should be regulating. There's a lot of stuff that they should be taking care of. This whole abortion bill stuff, this is them just trying to take up time and, bid their time. It's just going to take a bunch of time and more taxpayer dollars to debate something that we've already decided back in the 70s.
I guess they think they can overturn this, right? I mean, getting a bill in front of SCOTUS here with new justices in and maybe overturning Roe versus Wade, that's the plan. Hello? Okay, we lost him. Clifton, thanks for the call. Terry says, I'm for the candidate that gets that can get the federal government out of my everyday life.
Except when you get those federal subsidies that Alabama receives in excess of what we send in tax dollars, right?
Right. And I've said that forever, that we are a net beneficiary of the federal government. But let me argue against myself.
Okay.
And say that peanut butter is not evenly spread, right?
Oh, of course.
It's not like every citizen in Alabama gets the same amount of federal aid.
Which is why you invest in Schillinger Road and not in Highway 45, right?
Huh?
So if you're going to invest in infrastructure, you can't put the infrastructure everywhere. So we made a decision to put that infrastructure on the widening of Schillinger Road as opposed to doing something on Highway 45.
Hey, who makes that decision? LDOT does, right?
I don't know.
Then you have pay-as-you-go program. Well, we should know. I mean, if we're going to, cast aspersions, we should cast them accurately, right?
No, we just cast aspersions without any information behind it.
No, I'd like to make it accurate. Okay, so let's quickly here run through the three Democrat candidates here for AL1.
Yeah, so we have three declared and qualified candidates for AL1. The first is Dr. J.T. Averhart, Chief Warrant Officer 5, United States Marine Corps, retired. The second is Dr. Keani Gardner, who is a Duke University PhD scientist, and she was teaching at the community college level. And then the last one was Mr. Rick Collins, who has actually run for office before. I don't remember off the top of my head what it was. I think it was probably something in the Mobile municipal elections, probably for one of the councilman seats there. But we've had the opportunity to interview all three of them on Kennedy for Alabama, and we'll look forward to continuing to interact with them during the next couple of months.
All right. Speaking of which, you want to tell folks kind of set up what we're looking at for next year?
Sure, sure. So we are actually going to take a little bit of a holiday pause for Kennedy for Alabama, and then we are going to relaunch with season two starting immediately after the first of the year.
All right. So we are, this man gets to take a break from one of his umpteen jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
This one, and come back at it in the new year. Well, good stuff. I don't think I'll talk to you before. So happy Thanksgiving to you and
happy
Auckland,
Thanksgiving
the whole crew.
To you and your family as well.
And we will, and Dalton, by the way, hosting Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah. Oh, Dalton, hopefully
first
you'll
time,
survive.
First time.
It's a big year hosting Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
In his home.
It's all coming down to the new Orwig family household.
I can't wait to hear you afterwards. Oh, my gosh.
And also a bit of a schedule change also for my show, Sports Night. We're normally on Monday nights because Tiger Talk wanted to get out for Thanksgiving. We aired Tiger Talk last night when Sports Night normally airs. So Corey LeBounty and I will be live 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving night, Sports Night then. And then we're going to back it up and on Monday do a live remote from Valentino's Italian Cuisine, new restaurant there at Michael Boulevard and Azalea Road. So hope everyone comes out to see us then.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that. See how Dalton planned that Thanksgiving. We're like, well, there's much stuff I got to go do. Got to go to work.
Looks like I'm staying late at the office.
Yeah, again. All right. Y'all have a great one. Mike Gallagher is next. I'll see you at noon for Midday Mobile.